Welcome to the Realty FC podcast, where we educate and give different perspectives on the local real estate trends from business owners, professionals, and others as we navigate the ever-changing world of real estate. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my co-host, Michelle, as we dive into the twists and turns of the complex real estate world. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing well, Chris.
You doing pretty good?
I am.
All right. Well, you know what? Do you like wine?
I do.
How much?
A lot.
Do you prefer white over red or red over white?
Where are you? You know, I've found reds and whites that I like just right, so as well, but probably I lean more to the whites. Yeah.
Okay.
They're not as dry. So.
Okay. So you like maybe like the sweeter, like Moscato?
Real sweet though.
Okay. So no, I'm just, yeah. I'm striking out here.
Yeah. Kind of midway.
Yeah. No, yeah. So for me, I could drink either as well. I'm not like a wine snob or anything like that. It's kind of, you know, sometimes it does taste a little bit better with food. You know, so pairings might help, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not real sure which wines really go with which food. I get lucky sometimes.
You know, I don't really know either. If it tastes good.
Okay.
To me, it goes with anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. Then I'm sure there's a lot of people out there just like that.
But, I know.
Well, we've got a guest that's coming on today that, you know, is opening up a wine tasting venue, which is actually here at this location. Mm-hmm. And they have folks that will explain, help you answer all those kind of questions and even dive into more about how to critique your wine in several different ways.
So, this is exciting to have something like that right here in Stephen City.
You know, and I'm actually more excited. I'm hoping he brings some for us to taste.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be pretty awesome. All right, so let's cut to the chase. Let's bring him on the show.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, we have a returning guest this time around. Welcome back to the show. We got Court Maddox. How you doing, Court?
Thank you. Doing great. Thanks good. For having me again.
This time, it's not for the same thing. Different adventure this time.
Right.
One of your other hats that you wear. Tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe the business that you're here for. And let's go ahead and then we'll dive into it.
Sure. So honestly, I think the last time we talked about Faithbrook, is that right?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, did.
We touched on it a little.
But also about your coaching.
Consulting too? Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I can't remember how many hats I wear now. But so today, I think the main portion is to talk about the Vintage Barrel, which is our new tasting room that's up and coming. We actually are going to have two locations, so really excited about that. We have one location that is almost open now here in Stephen City, and then also our main location that will be open in January 2025.
Okay.
So
nice.
And when you say here in Stephen City, it's literally here.
Literally.
Like right where we are.
In studio, right?
That's right. And what were some of the driving factors that led you to that amazing idea and opportunity, the Vintage Barrel?
Well, if anybody's done any research on alcohol has great margins. It is practically recession proof. When times are tough, people drink more. And when times are good, people drink
more.
Yeah. So,
well, times must always be tough for me.
It really does. It works out really well because you get that piggyback. And because it's on site of the same property for the main location once it opens, is that now we'll be able to piggyback kind of things off onto our wedding guest and our couples. And we're currently working on a marketing strategy that will be QR code based, that we will gather the contact information from all of the guests, hopefully as many of them as we can, in order to then talk more and more about the Vintage Barrel events and things like that happening, so we can constantly have that flow of traffic. So one group benefits the other group benefits that, and yeah. So
they kind of go hand in hand for sure.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you faced as you were, you know, going from, okay, this is a cool idea, to actually, you know, putting it into place, putting it into action, I should say?
It's a lot of moving pieces. It's great to have the property, so we have that part already accounted for. But when it comes to moving pieces, we initially got an estimate on the barn and getting it built, and we were looking at doing a stick-built barn. And our first estimate, even after telling the contractor that we really wanted to kind of save money while doing it, came in at $1 million.
Yep.
And so it was one of those that was like, yeah, we need to restructure this and come up with a different idea. And through that, obviously, there's a lot of research that has to go on. And finally, we're able to find a barn kit to be able to put it together, and really excited about that coming together. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of challenges when you're doing new construction. Michelle, you can probably relate to that. New construction, when you're buying from one of those national builders, from Ryan Homes, those things, you know, they tend to go pretty seamless because they got a lot of, you know, processes in place. Mm-hmm. They've done it so many times. But when you're building those custom homes, you know, there's a lot that goes into play there. I mean, contractors, in your case, the getting the ABC license for the alcohol, I mean, that poses a challenge, costs money, you know, things, finding contractors not that will do the job, right, and do the job well, mm-hmm. at a reasonable price. Might not be the cheapest, might be the most expensive, but one that communicates, shows up when they say they're going to show up, or shows up at all, you know. Right. You know, so a lot of headaches that you want to make sure you have someone that's, you know, because if you're doing all that yourself, you know, contacting the contractors and doing all that, either you need to be prepared, mm-hmm. right? Or you need to have someone that maybe has experience or history of, you know, doing a really good job, you know, taking that weight off of your shoulders. Because I think it's important that, because there's a lot, you know, you think, oh, I just want to go out and I want to build my own home. Yeah, it sounds great on paper, but man, it can be a headache, mm-hmm. right? We deal with that mm-hmm. a lot in real estate. Okay, so those were some of your challenges. Because the ABC license, did you find that being a challenge?
I was going to say that the other piece, talking about the ABC license, yeah. is getting an ABC license in Virginia is not easy. There's a lot that goes into it. Yeah. We did hire a consultant in that. Okay. If I could give a piece of advice for anybody that is looking to mm-hmm. start a business that has anything to do with an ABC license, absolutely hire the consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an expense, but the number of hoops they had to jump through in order to make it happen, the months that it took them to get everything done, the filing for an ABC license is expensive in itself. You add the element of getting a consultant, it does become more expensive, but we avoided a lot of the pitfalls. And they are handling the reporting for us on a monthly basis so we can avoid some of the fees that may come if we didn't do it correctly. So absolutely, again, 2 cents to any viewers that are watching this that are thinking about it, hire the consultant, save yourself. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes along with just what I was just saying. Yeah. Have someone that has the experience.
How long did it take to get the license?
It took about 3+ months, to 4 months. I don't think it was quite 4, but 3 to 4 months. But there was this constant back and forth of things that needed to be filed, mm-hmm. things that needed to be filled out, forms, checks, the whole nine. It was this constant, steady process that I'm like, I thank God we hired the consultant.
Right.
I would not have wanted to do it. And then now that we're listed as a farm brewery and a limited brewery farm winery. So we have beer and wine, and that also covers cider, seltzers, the little things that they call by ABC rules, RTDs or ready to drink, which are like the canned vodka drinks, things like that.
Okay.
But it includes all of those, but there are so many stipulations, and there's a monthly reporting for beer that's due on a particular day of the month, and there's a monthly reporting for wine that's due on a particular day of the month, not the same day. 5 days apart, one of them's the 10th, one of them's the 15th. And so fortunately the consultant takes care of that. And so we're not responsible so we get a report every single month, twice a month.
So what exactly gets reported on that? The sales or the amount or?
It's all about the amount.
Okay.
So it's based on excise tax. So it's based on production. So the mm-hmm. amount of alcohol that you produce within your facility is the amount that has to be reported. Oh, okay. So there's an excise tax that goes along with it. It's quite complicated. It really is. And we talked about first thing. I've got a ton of hats, and to, mm-hmm. to think about having to do that on those particular days of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, Yeah, very good. I like the idea RTD. So someone asks me next time, so what are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm RTD.
Right.
I'm ready to drink.
There you go. That's right. That's what we should all be, right?
Yeah. I'll use that on my text next time. RTD. All right. So what kind of atmosphere are you going for at the Vintage Barrel? Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things that is going to be going on inside this place.
Yeah. So we're looking to do live music on a regular basis. The barn is a 60 by 64. And we've got two of the glass garage doors that will be going in. So we'll be able to create an outdoor indoor atmosphere during times of nice weather. But when it isn't so nice, like, you know, if it is raining, if it's cold, if it's hot, whatever the case may be, we'll be able to turn on the heat, the air, and keep people nice and comfortable inside. So they'll have kind of a wide variety of different places that they can go depending on what they want to experience. But we'll have live music. We'll have different events, different food trucks, different things like that that will come out that will be supporting the economy from multiple different business perspectives. But it'll be a great spot for people to hang out and just make memories. And that's kind of our slogan, is moments into memories. Because when we think about it, every time we go out with groups of friends or families, we take those moments, we turn them into memories. And that's what we plan on doing at the Vintage Barrel for everybody else. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when I go out drinking, I don't have the memory the next day.
So yeah, it might not want to
maybe I need RTD to dial that. That much.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, have a
moderation,
couple.
Chris.
But you know, of course, anytime anybody's coming out to the Vintage Barrel, we want you to drink the proper amount. Drink just the right amount.
Sure. And drink responsibly, everybody.
Take the right amount home with you,
yep.
So that you can drink responsibly the next day, and the day after, and the day after. So yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'm just joking there. I'm not that much of an alcoholic. I don't want everybody to get the wrong idea about
right.
me.
No.
So I know you talked about this already, and it's kind of going, the Vintage Barrel is going in by the wedding venue nearby. Talk a little bit more about the added benefit there. I mean, what the bride and groom, what kind of advantages is that going to give them, or opportunities, I should say, that for them?
Yeah. So a lot of wedding venues will allow outside alcohol on premise. Mm-hmm. So the couple needs to have an ABC license. They need to bring it. They drop it off to the responsible party that day of. And there's a lot of, if you think about it from a wedding standpoint, there's a lot of logistics that have to happen in that couple of hours prior to your wedding. Our idea with this is that, one, logistically, we're already on site. So we have your beer, your wine, your cider, your seltzer, your RTDs.
Yeah.
We have all those things right there. So now, logistically, instead of you having to bring all of those things, because most people put it in the back of a pickup and they're bringing cases or kegs and that kind of thing, it's already there on site. The other thing is that we can calculate the proper amount of alcohol based on the number of people that you have, and we'll have an extra amount because the tasting room is right there. We are also offering discounted rates for our couples so that it creates a higher benefit for them. Hmm. So we're
win-win.
Still, yeah. We'll still make margin on it from a company's perspective, but it's a benefit for them. So they're still getting it cheaper than what they would get it in the store. And it logistically, it takes away one more step.
Right.
It also means that they can come in. So my wife and one of my business partners' wives, they're both sommelier level threes, which in most cases, whenever you go out to a winery, they don't spend the time or the money and the resources to get people up to that level. But because they have that expertise, they're able to pair the proper wines with the proper meal. So if somebody really wants to come in and they're really passionate about their wines, they can come in, talk about what they're going to be serving, and then the ladies can come up with, okay, well, these would be great wines to offer as a pairing to your food and accentuate the flavors. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I can talk about this because I've had the opportunity of having one of the wine tastings, and it's really cool because they'll go through a lot of the different things on how to review a wine. Like, they'll teach you about the clarity of it, you know, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you swirl the wine, you know, there's what veins that come down the side, whether they come down fast or slow will also determine something. And I'm not going to steal too much of their thunder, but they teach you a lot, you know, a lot about how to review a wine, or you don't have to pay attention and just drink it. I mean,
right.
Either way,
right.
But if whatever, you know, is interest you know, you're going to get, which I thought was really cool because I didn't know all that. You know, I was just the one that was RTD'd. I was just ready to drink.
Right.
So I would just drink it and whatever. But no, it's really cool. I learned a lot during that time. So with your wine, I mean, this, where we are is one of your extensions of the vintage barrel. Maybe talk a little bit about that. So if, cause you offer memberships for your, for the wines, right? You want right. to explain what that's like?
So, it's great to be on site, at our wine room here as well. But, it's one of those things that we'll offer memberships. This is a great pickup location for anybody located in the area to be able to pick up a couple bottles of wine every single month. The great thing about the membership, so for anybody that's ever been involved in a membership at a winery, you pick whether every winery is different. So maybe two bottles a month, it may be three bottles a quarter, it, you know, whatever the case may be. But you get those wines, but they're always coming from that particular winery, which is great. But our experience is going to be one that you're going to get wines from different parts of the world. And so we'll have different emphasis, and we're going to connect with a lot of these wineries overseas, over in other parts of the world, that we're going to have them do explanation tastings to go over the wines and things like that.
Ew,
so
I like that.
It's really going to be a really cool experience for our members to be able to participate in that and actually connect with somebody that is directly on site, virtually, obviously, but directly on site at a winery in Italy or in France or what have you, and really understand the thought and the passion that went behind creating that particular wine. And some people, again, aren't that extremely passionate and don't want to know. I'm very inquisitive, so I always want to know these things. And it, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the topic is. I'm always asking questions.
Yeah.
So, but for anybody that is interested in that, it's going to be a really cool experience. Now, coming back to one of your other pieces there with the location here, is what we really want to focus on is having, you know, different groups come in and have that experience and do, you know, potentially private tastings and things like that. Obviously, you can come in from a public standpoint, but also you can reserve a time period if you wanted, if anybody's watched, what's it called? Sweet Magnolias. It's a show, I think, on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah. So my wife and, friend of hers always talk about, you know, pour it out. And that's what they always talked about. Whenever they would get together, they would have this session, they'd do margaritas. But, you know, for here, we want to do wine and have couple or like, you know, women groups or what have you come over, book clubs, and pour it out. Just, you know, get rid of the stress of the week and just have a good time and just focus on taking in a moment and turning it into that memory and really enjoying yourself. So,
So when can folks start enjoying the Stephen City? When can they expect to do tastings here?
So we've done, we've had the opening, the soft opening. We've tested our POS system. We've done a lot of things from that standpoint, and plan on opening very, very soon,
The
next week or two. We've been working on scheduling, wanted to make sure everything was working. So I think within the next week or two for general public. I will say that for us, though, I did bring a bottle.
Oh, nice. Oh,
so and so instead
private
of
tasting.
Everybody else having to wait, we actually get to taste now.
Oh, man. I'm RTD.
RTD, as everybody should be. Now, I'm a little bit worried to try to do this.
To the pour?
Yeah.
Or for it to overflow?
I don't want to make a mess.
Do you want me to hold the cup?
No. My wife will give me a hard time.
It's okay. It's Joel's table.
I couldn't pour.
Now look at that. You did well.
So a couple different things as you're pouring. One, I'm trying not to pour too much of a tasting here because I really don't want to get us drunk. We probably have work to do.
Yeah.
But when you pour, one, you're not supposed to drip. Two, you are not supposed to hit the glass with the bottle. Oh. Again, I learn all these things from the missus. She's like, you did it wrong. You need to fix this. But yes, and so when you pour, you really should twist the bottle to try to prevent the drip. And you have to stay far enough away so that whenever you are doing the twist, you're not clinking the glass.
I've got another idea. Just drink from the bottle.
I guess a great idea. I mean, there's really
works for me.
Yeah, like with this one, I wanted to pull out a screw cap because I wanted to make sure that we could just cap it back off. Yeah, but in most cases, you know, nobody likes a quitter. You should be able to finish a whole bottle of wine. But yeah,
all right.
So,
well, cheers.
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 So, what kind of cost are we looking at for someone to sit down and do one of these tastings?
So to do a tasting of about seven wines is $15.
That's very good.
So we start with the whites, we move on with the rosé, two rosés and a red or two. But yeah, so seven wines,
$15. You change that up over the seasons, and maybe you're interchanging some of the wines over time. So that could change, but that's
absolutely
where you are.
So speaking of your five S's, by the way, it really is, you're supposed to see it, you're supposed to swirl it, you're supposed to smell it, sip it, and savor it. I think I got that right.
Like dip, now, dodge, dive,
yes,
dodge.
That's right. Yeah. So, it typically when you are drinking wine, by the way, I don't know, this is, you know, for anybody that's out there, again, you can come in, you can get lessons coming in for a tasting, cause they'll talk about all this, but you really shouldn't hold it by the base of the wine glass. So normally we do stemmed glasses, but sometimes this is a little bit easier, but because it heats up the wine and then it changes the flavor profile. So
yeah. Okay. I still like drinking out of the bottle idea. I feel like there's a lot of benefit to that.
There is. I mean, you know, for those of us that don't really want to clean a glass, it does save the glass.
Yeah. Yeah. So it helps the dishwasher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about the ladies that are going to be doing the serving. You mentioned the word that they are. Say that again. Because
sommelier.
Sommelier.
Yeah. And there are levels. There's level 1, 2, 3, 4. And I believe 5 is considered master.
Oh.
I don't know the exact number now. I know at one point in time there were like 196 of them in, I believe, either the country or the world.
Wow.
So the only way to get to that level is you have to go through all the testing. But before you take the test to become a master sommelier has to actually sponsor you. And so they have to recommend that you be somebody that even potentially does the test. And with that, you have to determine what region it's from the taste. You have to determine the terroir or the soil style that it was in. I mean, there's a number of different things. Both my wife and business partner's wife, they have both said that they're at level 3. That's that's where they're staying. So,
that makes sense. And they seem very knowledgeable for what I needed to know as far as wine drinker. So some of the wines that you currently have, I know, again, you may have others down the road, but what are your price ranges right now for retail?
So our goal is, and I'll tell you, it's funny that you mentioned that because one of the reasons I always stayed away from wine is because I was so nervous. And because I always thought like, oh, you go to a winery, like people have their nose up and, you know, it's very hoity-toity and it's very expensive. And the reality is that our wine is anywhere from $25 to $45 currently. We will have wines that are a little bit more expensive down the road, but you know, just for those people that want to experience some wines from different regions that will just have to be more expensive.
Sure.
But for the most part, we'll have our wines within a price range that just makes it very affordable for people to get really good wine without having to pay a fortune. And we do, we taste these wines before we purchase them and before we have them on site. And we go through a process of elimination. For example, the wines that we have now, we went through, it was actually between, my wife was supposed to be there. She had to work. Business partner was supposed to be there. He had to work. So it was his wife and me that had to taste wines, and we had already picked 100 different wines. And so needless to say, that was a
challenge accepted.
That was a tough day. It was a tough day. So trying to taste that without going through a, you know, nasal fatigue from trying to smell them or, you know, a taste bud fatigue is tough. But we want to make sure we're carrying a good product.
Yeah. Michelle, how many do you think of 100 wines could you get through without falling over?
I'll take the challenge.
Okay. That's your answer?
Just
all 100.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Well, we might have to test that there.
You notice I probably shouldn't point this out.
Yeah, you're the first one done. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a shot, Michelle. It was a, you're supposed to sip. That's one of the S's.
Look, she's drinking not because she's stressed, but because she's hanging out, having a great time.
That's right.
Yeah, pour it out.
That's right.
Pour it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else that you want, that you care to mention about the vintage barrel at this point? I definitely want to have you back on once, you know, after January 2025, when things get up and going, and talk about how it's going. And
We'll definitely, we'll certainly keep in touch for sure, but definitely.
Maybe we'll get Lisa on here this time.
I tried. I actually brought it up with her and was like, hey, you know, Chris has reached out, talked about, you know, doing a podcast for, mm-hmm. and she said, is that going to be on video? And is it, you know,
yeah.
how many takes do I get? And I was like, well, you literally just, you kind of run through it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, but it's on video. What if I say something really, you know, silly? And I'm like, come on, seriously? Like, yeah. he's having me on there. You know that's going to happen.
Tell her his like, co-host does all the time.
Yeah, they could just cut it out. It's fine. But
actually, a wine discussion on wine pairing, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, we can line that up. We can line that up. Yeah. All right, so how would someone get, I mean, I know the Vintage Barrel is in the making, but how would someone, I mean, this outreach here, this location is on its way, mm-hmm. But how would someone get in touch with Vintage Barrel, whether it's a bride or groom or someone that's just maybe thinking about doing a wine tasting?
Yeah, so all of our connection currently is going through Faithbrook.
Okay.
We will have a page that's getting ready to come up live on the Vintage Barrel within the Faithbrook website, which is www.faithbrook.com. A lot of people hear Facebook when I say that, but it's Faith Brook, as in having faith, and then a babbling brook. But you'll see the webpage there. Again, we'll have that up and coming here within the next week. You can also contact us through that number, as well as the email address that you find on there at info@faithbrook.com. And feel free to come into the Stephen City location and get a tasting here. We are on Facebook as well. The Vintage Barrel is on Facebook. We have two different Facebook pages. We have the one here for Stephen City that will be announcing different events and tastings and things like that, as well as the one for Luray, where we will be posting pictures as the build continues. And
cool. So keep an eye out for all the social media posts, and you know, schedule yourself to come in here and taste these wines. This is delicious. Michelle, do you remember what it tastes like?
I do. Yeah.
Just kidding.
We've got
very
more.
Good.
Yeah, we've got
good.
More. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. We'll just give you the bottle like I suggested. Well, Court, hey, listen, man, I appreciate you coming back on here and talking about that. I can't imagine you getting into something else to have you come on earlier, but thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
don't,
you.
Don't put on too many hats. Stick with what you're good at.
That's right. I'm at my max. I've asked to do some different things, and I've said no. So
Well, you're doing a great job. The wedding venue is doing really well, and I know this is going to go great as well. So
Just booked our 52nd wedding.
That's awesome.
Took over almost a year ago. So one a week.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Real TFC podcast. The key to success is knowledge and relationships. So please like, share, and subscribe, and catch you on the next episode of the Real TFC podcast.